This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it's 10 minutes after 6 on this Tuesday morning from WSMI FM 106. Time now for part one of the Morning Ag Show. We join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade, May corn was to 352 up three quarters. July corn was at 361 and three quarters up a half. And September corn finished at 370 up a half. On to soybeans for May. That finished at 847 and a half, down six and a quarter. July beans were at 860 and three quarters, down six and a quarter. And August beans were at 866 and three quarters, down six and a half. Chicago wheat for May was to 426 and three quarters, down eight and a quarter. July wheat was to 435 and a quarter, down seven and a quarter. And September wheat was to 443 and three quarters, down six and a half. Soybean meal for May was down $2.70 to $297.20. July bean meal was to $300.90, down $2.80. And August bean meal was to $302 even, down $2.80 as well. May soybean oil was up 36 cents to $27.88. July soybean oil was up 35 cents to $28.19. And August bean oil was up 34 cents to $28.33. And finally, crude oil for June was up 15 cents to $63.45 per barrel. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain reports.
This is Monday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mixed on Monday afternoon. As of April 28th, 8% of the Illinois corn was planted. Last year at this time, 28% was planted, and the four-year average is 14%. As of April 28th, 3% of the Illinois soybeans were planted. A year ago, 6% was planted, and the four-year average was 6%. And as of April 28th, Illinois had 2.5 days suitable for field work. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up a penny at 310 to 344, while soybean bids were down 2 to 6 cents at 758 to 813. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up a penny at 324 to 345. Soybean bids were down 6 cents at 788 to 815. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 1 to 2 cents at 324 to 354. Soybean bids were down 4 to 6 at 796 to 832. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 3 to 6 cents lower at 823 to 833. Basis was steady to up 3 at 2500 to 1500 to May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 279.20 to 289.20 a ton, down 70 cents to 270 a ton, with basis unchanged up to at 1800 to 8 under the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 1 to 4 cents higher at 340 to 360. Basis is up 1 to 3 to steady at 1208 over the May. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted to producer corn bids 1 to 2 cents higher at 347 to 352. With basis unchanged, up one at 500, option to May. Soybeans ended down 4 to 6 cents at 821 to 828, with basis unchanged, up to at 2700 to 20 under the May. New crop wheat prices are 7 cents lower at 405 to 425, with basis steady at 3000 to 10 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids mixed at 366 to 371. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 3 to 7 cents, quotations at 847 to 849. Soft wheat closed down 8 cents at 463 to 464. Milo ended the day up a penny at 363 to 364. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery, corn in the northern part of the state at 321 to 351, soybeans at 796 to 827. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 338 to 356, soybeans at 816 to 838. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 316 to 356, soybeans at 806 to 837, and June-July wheat at 409 to 440. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, April live cattle gained 22 cents on Monday to 124.77. June live cattle were down 25 cents to 114.80. In August, live cattle were down a dime to $112.55. May feeder cattle were down 55 cents to $143.40. August feeders were down $1.77 on Monday to $151.07. In September, feeders were down $1.35 to $152.50. Finally, May lean hogs were down $2.22 to $84.77. June lean hogs lost 70 cents yesterday, down to $88.05, rather. And July lean hogs were down 90 cents to $92.55. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture one more time this morning for Monday's Cash Livestock Reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations are at 200-pound pork carcass traded 13 cents higher, in a range of 72 to 83 and a quarter, with a weighted average carcass price of 79.38. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow prices are $1 to $2 higher, with very good demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds trade at 51 to 56, 4 to 5 weight at 54 to 59, 5 to 6 weight at 56 to 62, and over 600 pounds, $60 to $62. In the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings range from $49 to $58. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $21,150. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers on live basis trade at $124.50. Choice heifers on live basis trade at $125. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 254 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $84.99, which is 72 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $233.14, which is 15 cents higher, while select carcasses are $217.72, which is $1.69 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 120,000, compared to 114,000 last week and 118,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 472,000, compared to 324,000 last week and 457,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Time now for part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you this morning by the Litchfield National Bank, by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville, and by the CHS Service Center, farmer-owned with global connections. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. On this Tuesday morning edition of the Ag Show, we join Don Schaefer of the Midwest Truckers Association. In this interview, Don and I talk about planting season, transportation funding, and bi-state infrastructure improvements on rail and rivers, as well as the summer project on the Illinois River lock and dam system.
You know, it's kind of funny. A month ago, we were sitting here saying, well, the next couple of days, it's going to get busy. Be careful. Watch out on roads, because there's going to be a lot of tractors, a lot of planters, everything else on the road. Well, Mother Nature took care of that, so haven't seen much of anything. However, they're starting to move. People putting down anhydrous, others were actually scratching, and that's a positive sign that things are starting to move. Again, you know, tell people, though, be careful. You know, this stuff's going to be on the highway, and it's going to be moving slow, so just be cognizant of the fact that it's out there. And if the weather holds out there, because things are so late, they're going to be working late, too. So watch out during the dawn to dusk, because you may come up on it and may not see it till the last minute. So look out for the flashing lights and the slow-moving vehicle emblems out there. Just be careful.
Definitely. It's going to be hot and heavy here since we're almost to May, and generally all the crops in the past few years, they've been about ankle high about this time of year.
Yeah, this is not the year. I mean, this is one of those years, it goes back to, you know, the old saying, knee high by 4th of July. Well, that may be, you know, if it keeps raining like it's been doing, we may be in that situation. And it may not be corn, it may be late beans, too. So who knows?
Transportation funding is always something we always talk about. Where's the latest with that?
Yeah, we've been, you know, this has been a discussion, ongoing discussion we've had about plans, in Washington and Springfield, what we're doing about fixing transportation infrastructure. More importantly, where are we going to get the money to do it? It's been a long slog, the best way to put it. We still haven't seen anything definitive come out of the Pritzker administration. We've seen two proposals out there. Basically, both talk about raising motor fuel taxes. One is more, I think, that has a lot more legs to it, which was a proposal by the Illinois State Chamber that calls for raising the motor fuel tax, but then also phasing out the sales tax that's assessed on motor fuel. That's money that doesn't go into the road funds. It's not used for highway construction and repair. It's basically would be an offset. We'd raise the motor fuel tax, but we'd repeal and phase out the sales tax. Fair and equitable. We'll see what happens. There's other proposals out there also that talks about doubling the motor fuel tax, but it doesn't say too much more about some of the key issues that are involved there that need to be addressed with funding. At a meeting in Chicago on Friday, the discussion was, well, we're going to see another proposal this week. That proposal may have something else in it. We don't know. But I think everyone's sitting there going, well, you know, we haven't seen anything from the administration. You know, is this the administration's plan to drop something real quick? So you can't poke a hole at it, or you can't say, well, it needs this or that, which concerns a lot of people because we feel that, you know, if there's going to be openness in government, as this new administration has said they're going to do, well, you know, it would be nice to see a plan, and we haven't seen a plan. There's been discussions about a plan, but nothing's come out. So, you know, the legislature comes back on the, what is it, 30th. When they come back, they only have 4.5 weeks of session left. So there's not much time there to really put a proposal out there, have everyone put their 2 cents worth in it, have hearings on it, and then have, you know, legislators get feedback from their constituency. You know, we've got to deal with that. You know, at the same time, everyone's concerned about, well, you know, what about this income tax increase everyone's talking about? Well, again, we haven't seen a proposal. We've seen, you know, ads on TV. We've heard ads on radio saying, well, it's a fair and equitable tax. Well, what is it? You know, and, you know, put your cards on the table so people can see it. And that's, but they aren't. And that's what's concerning a lot of people right now. It's going to be one of those last minute things. You won't have time to either fight it or, you know, say, can we make a change to it or that type of a thing. So we'll see. Springfield politics.
A lot of grain still out there needs to be moved. The best way to do a lot of that is by barge down on the river. And then we were talking about how lock and dams are needing improved on that part of the infrastructure. So what's the gist with that?
Well, we're part of a large coalition in the St. Louis metropolitan area by state region that is really working on improving the transportation infrastructure. And this group is looking at it, you know, not just from an economic standpoint, but that is, you know, the major push. Both sides of the river, it's a transportation hub for the lower Midwest, especially moving grain and other commodities downriver. It's a clean shot. Granite City South, there's, you know, there's no lock and dam all the way down to the Gulf Coast. So that stretch of the river is very busy in terms of moving grains. What happens farther upriver is dependent on how well the locks and dams are working on both the Mississippi and on the Illinois River and on the Missouri. And we're seeing, you know, first of all, it's been a tough couple of weeks because of the flooding going on. So that's really shut down most of the upper Mississippi north of the Quad Cities in that area. Illinois River, it's been a tough couple decades. I mean, it's an old antiquated system. The locks and dams on the Illinois River system have been around for a long time. They're constantly being shut down because of problems, gates that don't work or, you know, these types of things. So the Army Corps of Engineers this summer is starting a multi-year program that is going to begin work on these locks. And the idea, first of all, I think people thought, well, we'll do this lock first and do this one, then do this one. Well, when you do it that way, if you fix one lock or you work on one lock system, lock and dam, then it slows everything up all the way up and down the line. So the Corps is doing something rather novel this year, and they're going to shut most of them down for, you know, like 3 months. And, I mean, it means this summer they're going to dewater the, you know, the locks. Some of them have gates that need replaced. They've got concrete that needs to be replaced. A lot of work to be done. And a lot of this is going to be in phases, but the Corps, they've let all their partners, I suppose you could call them, know well enough in advance, you know, in the agricultural community, in the transportation community, that this is going to happen. And this is going to start from Joliet all the way down the system. We're going to see a series of closures. That means that there's not going to be any grain moving down. There's not going to be any gravel, concrete, you know, all that kind of stuff moving up, unless it's going to be going in between the locks. In some places they do, but not much. So, you know, the industries have been working together to figure out, well, what is this going to do in terms of the impact of grain movement? You know, we foresee that the Corps says they're going to be ready for the harvest season. Keep your fingers crossed. People can't see it, but I do have my fingers crossed. During that time, there's going to be a lot of stuff moving by truck. Moving a lot of that onto truck, it's more expensive to move it, but, I mean, if it has to move to market, it's going to move. So, you know, telling folks, you know, watch, there's going to be a lot more grain trucks out there. At the same time, we're going to see movements going north in the same thing. But that brings us back to the bi-state area. That's why this area is so important, is because we don't have to worry about the locks and dams. You've got unit trains that come in from the upper plains, and they come down and they transload onto barges, which then head south. You've got a lot of grain that's moved by truck in this area down to East St. Louis, Continental Grain, those areas right in there. And so this bi-state transportation group, they all work together. I mean, it's barges, it's, you know, trucking, it's train, short rail, short haul, long haul. And the idea is, you know, it's a lot easier to work together than work against each other. And so the groups have been doing a very good job, and it is, as a unified voice, been trying to work with the congressional delegations from both Illinois and Missouri to stress the importance of this type of funding. There have even been discussions down in St. Louis, interest, a group of investors who are working on a plan to build special barges. And these barges will be built that they hold intermodal containers. You see them going on the trains all the time. But the idea, there's, you know, a proposal out there to put them on to barges and to be able to move them upriver and downriver. And they say they can do it economically. Now, we haven't seen it yet, but that idea is out there. And again, I mean, this is, you know, people are using their ingenuity saying, well, this is a great idea. Why don't we try doing this? Because we move them by train now. Is rally capacity? It's getting close. So what we're seeing is this kind of discussion. And the reason you're seeing that is because St. Louis, on both sides of the river, has turned into a kind of like a transportation hub that what happened up in Joliet 15, 16 years ago, whereby it turned into, or, you know, all the intermodal containers that you see on the tracks that hold everybody up, you know, especially going through Litchfield, Springfield, Carlinville. Those are all going to Joliet. They're transloaded. They're dropped on chassis, and they go everywhere. They go to Milwaukee, Chicago, Rockford, Gary, Indiana, Detroit, you know, and that area up there is the largest inland container port in the country, and actually, when you put it on a worldwide basis, one of the largest loading facilities in the world. So we're starting to see, you know, a lot of interest in this same thing in St. Louis area. You've got the warehouses, you've got distribution facilities, you've got the infrastructure to do this. A lot of smart people are sitting there going, let's try to make this work down here. So there is a very spirited group that's doing it, and it's kind of exciting to watch it because I remember watching it happen in Joliet years and years and years ago. So St. Louis is a very logical place for this to happen again.
And that would especially be a boost to the economy in that area too. So there's more than just one incentive to it.
Well, it makes sense. You've got two major airports. You've got Lambert. You've got, you know, Scott, you know, Mosquito, Mid-America. Two airports that can handle. They're very much less in capacity. They can handle the air freight. You've got the Mississippi. You've got the confluence of the Mississippi right there and the Illinois River, but that whole area right there. They can handle the water side. You've got interstate highways, 64, 55, 70, 40 before. I mean, you know, you've got all these interstate highways that are going like a, you know, spoke in a hub going out of St. Louis where you can move things by truck. So you've got, and railroads too, you've got major railroad right-of-ways going through St. Louis. And you've got a cooperative effort whereby all the railroads, when they cross the river, you know, they all work together because they maintain, you know, just a couple bridges, but they're all for the railroads, and they all work together on that. So you really do have great cooperation from all the modes And it's always interesting. We met last week or week before in St. Louis. It's very interesting to watch how all these people work together, because they do realize, hey, this is a great opportunity. This is a great location. And which is, it's good for the economy of this area, because of the fact that if you have cheap transportation cost, it promotes businesses. And if a business comes back and says, well, I got a great product, but I can't move it, then, you know, you're stuck. Luckily here, we've got great access to all those. And it's just a few miles down the road. It's not that far at all.
Exactly. And then that could also be a boost to employment. Some people I know around this area will go to Springfield, St. Louis for work. So it could also be a boost for an employment as well.
Well, sure. And it's not like downtown St. Louis. But, I mean, you know, there is a lot of transportation-related industries. I mean, there's warehousing, logistics, trucking, breakdown, you know, these types of things. You can see how it's growing on 270 right there, just outside of Edwardsville. You know, the big plan for that whole area is what we call TD&L, Transportation, Distribution, and Logistics, the movement of bulk goods and breaking them down for distribution. And that's a success story that we've seen in areas like Memphis, which is doing it now. And we see it, of course, up in Joliet, where they're doing it. St. Louis is a logical next step. It's between the two. It does have the land, relatively cheap land. You've got a workforce. You know, a lot of the stuff you need, you've got great access. And this is, these are all the things that, you know, long-term people look at. They're saying, hey, you know, this is a great idea. Why don't we take advantage of it?
And again, that was Don Schaefer, the Executive Vice President of the Midwest Truckers Association. And for this Tuesday morning, April 30th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.